Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
Hey, Philip, I'm here. Hey, everybody, I'm here. Listen, I want to talk about something. You got a minute, all right? You got to hang? All right. Let me get some light up here. I think that's it. That's not it. There we go. I want to plagiarize a little bit from Bill Bish, a guy I've known for some time from moved out of California. In the Bailing Wire, he talks about emission testing no longer required for motorcycles. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has dropped its requirement. Phoenix-based motorcycles undergo annual emissions inspections. The last place in the country to require such testing. Federal agency has approved a request from state environment officials in Arizona that motorcycle tests be discontinued, effective immediately. I'm not going to read all the blah, 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 but this is the last place that they were stopping motorcycles every year. And now, congratulations to Abate of Arizona, MMA of Arizona, the Arizona Confederation of the Clubs, the ACMC, for the years of efforts to relieve the Grand Canyon State riders of this unnecessary cost and burdensome time wasted in long lines. You think you got it rough? I'd like to have your damn motorcycle inspected every single year. That's what's going on in Arizona. But thanks to the agencies I just talked about, they finally got rid of it. All right. I'm going to talk about something else in a second. You think you had a hard life. You think you live in a tough town. You think that everybody's against you. Well, hang on, listen to this one. The motorcycle ban has been lifted in Pakistan. After 5 years, Pakistani authorities have lifted the ban on motorcycle riding in the Bajur tribal region. The ban on motorcycle riding was imposed in 2008 when the Taliban stepped up their activities in the region, and the ban was aimed at controlling insurgency and preventing targeted killings because motorcycles was being used for attacks on the anti-Taliban forces. We're not going to let you ride your motorcycle anymore. It's totally outlawed. Now, the announcement about lifting the ban was made by Brig Haida, a sector army commander, during his speech throughout the security forces run FM radio channel, Radio Ahmad FM 88. They even have the military run their radio shows over there. The lifting of the ban on motorcycle riding is a gift. They say it's a gift for the tribesmen on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan. Ramadan. Oh, shit. I think it's Ramadan. I said it wrong probably. Sorry. I'm Irish. What do you want, ladies? The good news may enhance the happiness of Ramadan, he says. Brigadier Ghulam said that imposing the ban on motorcycle riding was a difficult decision, but it was taken only in the largest interest of the people and the tribal agency. They decided nobody was going to allow to ride a motorcycle for 5 years. Now, you come from a tough town, you got to deal with the cops. All right, we all got tough problems in our life. How would you like to be told that you can't ride a motorcycle for 5 years and knowing there's nothing you can do about it? And these people in Pakistan, they had to put up with the bullshit. So next time you feel a little sad, next time you get a little grumpy, think, hey, at least we can ride our motorcycles. Remember, when they outlaw motorcycles, only outlaws will be riding motorcycles, right?
Right.
So how you doing today?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing also fine. I know we're waiting for guests to call in. We'll talk about that in a minute or two, I guess. You want to mention a little bit about
another one you had.
Okay, now, you know, this radio show, and you know, 95% of the work has all been done by Philip, where we have to do with knowing your motorcycle helmet laws.
Hello.
I'm going to hang on for a second. That may
be
our
up?
Caller.
Good,
but I want to talk about the how we're fighting helmet laws, how you can do that in your own area.
Right.
No, I guess no, that's not. Never mind. Okay, so know your helmet laws. So many people are coming to us complaining that Bolt has finally come together, and now they're trying to tell everybody how we can collectively across the state of California fight the helmet laws. Recently, there's been an excessive amount of traffic stops on Highway 76 in Oceanside. Philip and I ride to work on Highway 76. I got a cop in front of me and a cop behind me. Every time I see a motorcycle cop, he's got somebody pulled over. I'm not paranoid.
Okay.
It's not personal against me. It's against every motorcycle. The reason for these stops is non-DOT helmet. Majority of these stops are done by a very aggressive officer. Martin, is it Morabe? Morabe, thank you.
Morabe.
This officer has been confiscating helmets and leaving riders stranded.
Well, not really. Because I told those guys, if he takes your helmet, drive the fuck away. Because all it is $25 to get a fix-it ticket.
All right, but most people don't know that. We had a call last week. A guy was stuck on Highway 78.
Yeah, and I told you to tell the guy drive off.
Yeah. He was afraid to, so we had sent somebody out there.
Don't be afraid.
Well, that's the problem. They are.
Don't be afraid.
Everybody's afraid to stand up to the police department. If you have a problem with the phone company, you go down to see a supervisor. You're a problem with your gas electric. You go down and see a supervisor. You're a problem with the police department. Go down and see a supervisor. Don't be afraid. Okay, now, if you are stopped here in California, we're talking about right now, for a non-DOT helmet violation, if possible, video the stop. This is your right. Do not, I will spell it out for you. D-O-N-O-T. Remove your helmet. If asked, if you take it off, you will not get it back. If threatened with arrest, well. Okay, Kay, are you on the line there?
I am.
I'm going to stop talking about the helmet laws. I'll stop talking about this, and we're going to take a break and get you in, because we know you're out to a fine dinner tonight, right, buddy?
Yes.
Yes.
He's jealous.
I am. I'm always hungry. You know that.
I even made spaghetti for dinner, but he's jealous.
K.O., tell us, what are you doing? How'd you and Rusty get involved in this program? Give us the nutshell version, please.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it just came to me on a sideways comment from a lady that we're working with. It's just a long, long story, but she made a comment about needing 25,000 pairs of shoes, old used shoes, any shoes, torn, ripped, broken in half. It didn't matter. She needed shoes, and she asked me if I had any shoes, and so it sparked a conversation. One thing led to another. Within 48 hours, I am now the drop zone for this charity to raise money with the 25,000 pairs of shoes. I could potentially get a $10,000 check that will go to the American Soldier Network. So that's...
Now where are these shoes going to go to?
Oh, yeah. first of all, they're going to go to my shop and take up a lot of space. It's a nonprofit company that's based in Florida. The gentleman that owns this company is the ex-CEO of Adidas.
Uh-huh.
And he's deeply embedded in the shoe industry, of course, but he started this company to distribute shoes to people that do not have shoes for free. So we take and collect all of the shoes that would, you know, we don't wear so many of our shoes, and they end up in landfills. And here in America, if we can, there's a guesstimate of 500 years for a tennis shoe to decompose in our landfills.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, you know, if we can avoid that, why, what better way to put shoes on folks that need shoes and have no shoes? So once I gather up 25,000 pairs of shoes, because I have a feeling you guys are going to help me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, we are.
Yeah, there's seven hubs worldwide. He's got these operation hubs that clean, repair, they re-heal, refab the shoes in these mini factory repair hubs. And then once a month, all these shoes are distributed to the communities for free. They're impoverished villages. They're towns and villages of people that really don't have shoe stores. We're blessed with what we, you know, the state of California and America. So it's a beautiful thing. I mean, we keep these shoes out of landfills, and we then this company pays the villagers and the townspeople to refabricate the shoes and teaches them a trade and teaches them skills so that
they have a talent that
earns their paycheck. And of course that brings, you know, more money and economic, things that their revenue is created in their areas. So it's just a win-win situation. And then once the shoes are received, the 25,000 pairs of old used shoes, this company issues a $10,000 check, and they issue a $10,000 check within 48 hours of counting the shoes. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to hopefully give the check to the American. It's called American Social. I'm sorry, America. I'm distracted because all my girlfriends are staring at me from the restaurant window. But the American Soldier Network has been around for a decade, and they every year do a holiday Christmas gathering at the San Diego Naval Medical Center. And
okay.
Their goal is to, at the end of the year, their goal really is to get these men out of bed, get these combat soldiers out of bed, and just for the holiday time to see, you know, are they willing to go home or do they want to go back to active duty? And this holiday thing just directly aids these wounded soldiers to get them out of bed. It is the Wounded Warrior Battalion of Camp Pendleton.
And they're all Marines. He's a Navy guy.
I think it's Navy and Marine. And
yes, Navy and Marines, yes, dear.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're kind of interested in this a lot. Philip and I do a program here where we collect called a big cover-up. We do it every year. We collect tons and tons of clothing, and we give it down south to Father Joe Carroll, and up north we give it to Brother Bino. We don't collect shoes. So while we're collecting clothing and all this, this fits right into our program over here, a separate program for those people that want to donate shoes. Can we help you?
Yeah.
Can we be one of your drop zones? Or how can we get involved, Kale?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, American Soldier Network is based right in your backyard.
Exactly.
In Oceanside, very near Camp Pendleton. And I would love to be able to... Look, I've got about 400 pairs of shoes on my front porch right now, and they're coming in quickly, but 25,000 pairs of shoes is a challenge.
Well, KO,
so
I was thinking that if you and my wife both clean out your shoe boxes, that'll be 25,000 right there between the two of you.
I got to tell you, it's true. It's going to create revenue in our own community because now I can fill the empty place and the places inside my closet with brand new shoes.
There you go.
Well, we'd like to also, if we can get the radio show involved in this here, We can be dropping names of drop points, Illusion Motorcycles up there in Westminster, Kennedy's down here in Oceanside. The radio show can send people like that. If that's okay with you, we will start doing this. And also between you and you are a Quick Throttle publication. You are an advertiser. You being, of course, Illusion Motorcycles. Kennedy's Custom Cycles is with Quick Throttle. We are an advertisement. Quick Throttle, after Quick Cold Fall to me, they're interested in seeing how they can get involved, too. You want me to take that to the next step? Now, how about if I have Quick Throttle call you up and tell you how you're organizing all this?
Oh, I already spoke to Chris and Lisa. Yes, I'm totally on board with Quick Throttle as well, and they've been a great help on so many levels, and they're always very willing to, you know, especially with the motorcycle community, they're always very willing to participate. So they're going to place my flyer on their website, and I know Phil offered to put the flyer on the blog. And then we will have an event at Illusion Cycles where the semi truck, the big giant truck, will roll in and we will load 25,000 pairs of shoes. Maybe we'll get more.
Well, that'd be perfect. We could have a run from Kennedy's Custom Cycles up to Illusion Cycles and bring all of our shoes for your program. We could work that in together. Excellent, then.
That's so funny. Oh, God. Hey, I texted a couple of the Sons of Anarchy cast members, too, because I want their shoes.
Okay.
And I think they probably thought I was crazy. But it's interesting because even I have a client at our motorcycle shop that is the recipient of a prosthetic leg due to a motorcycle accident, and he is now bringing me all of his shoes that he can no longer wear. Because he now has a prosthetic.
Right.
And I've made new friends and rallied my old ones, my old friends. So I would love to be able to come back and talk on your radio show and
perfect.
Because right now you have one guy listening to you talk in Japan, one guy in Croatia, you got a guy in Australia, two people in Switzerland, three in Malaysia, three in the United Kingdom, three in Germany, five in Russia, five in Canada, and they're listening to you all over.
86, 100 in America. And don't forget, now, a lot of people, KO, because of the time constraints, they're going to archive this show. They're going to be going to bed. They are in bed sleeping by now. They'll wake up tomorrow. They'll start listening to the show. So even though the show comes over, the next day
we got 11 people in China, Bill.
Oh, you know what, KO? This is wonderful because when we first started out, we had one person from China. And this show was so illegal, coming from America. 11 people. This is amazing. What courage does it take to fight the government and all that, to listen to a radio show? And yet, if these people get caught,
they kill them.
You know, this is not... news from the West is not acceptable in China still. So this is kind of amazing in here.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive, the courage. It's very impressive, and, you know, God bless all you folks listening from other continents, and that's my goal, is to get these shoes all around the world. This is, it's a national outreach. It's not just, you know, our domestic land, but other countries will benefit, and hopefully I can do this, you know, more than just once a year, but I love the fact that this goes out to other countries, in places where folks would need these shoes. And, you know, hey, we love where we live, but if you have to be in other countries, say for work or because your families are there or whatever reasons it brings you to those other countries, I'm happy that you guys are tuning into this radio station. That warms my heart. And this little ex-surfer girl who married a biker wishes you well in the country that you're in, you know, and that leaves me speechless.
Okay, what I'm thinking about doing is getting myself a large trash can, a rubber trash can, plastic, whatever, and start putting some flyers up around the trash can so my customers come in and will see this. They'll start bringing the shoes in. Now, this American Soldier Network, do they have any flyers out that you can send me so I can take that right on the trash can so I start getting my customers coming in?
Yeah, I'll send some over to you via mail, as well as I can email the flyer. And then American Soldier Network, she has my flyer flying on her website. And yeah, and we need to have you tie the shoes together or rubber band them, or I have been zip tying pairs together in certain instances, but
okay.
Yeah, and yes, please, I just so
tell
happy
everybody, we're talking about babies, youth, men's, women's, boots, we're talking about sandals, high heels, tennis shoes, any type of a footwear, that's what we're looking for. Is that right there?
Yes, pointy toe, round toe, spike heel, flat heel, granny shoes, house slippers. Hey, even hooker shoes, okay, because hookers need shoes too, okay? And I hope that doesn't get anybody in trouble in China.
No. You know, a few people that are listening for the first time or are regular listeners, I'm watching all the people up there listening in right now. This lady we're speaking to, K.O., when she comes into a room, she lightens up the room. She has the most, and it's not the biggest eyes. She has got eyes that are so full of life. Everything she does, she attacks with such force and energy. She's married to a giant of a man, but I'm telling you, he does not have this lady's energy. He does not have this lady's enthusiasm. This lady is a power unto herself. And Philip and I are proud to say, as is my wife, this is our friend.
Yeah.
So you people listen to a very special lady in Southern California named K.O. And, of course, K.O.'s associated with Illusion Motorcycles. And they're in Westminster, California. Philip has that up on the board, of course, right there. Check in. See what Illusion Motorcycles doing. Her husband, can we say this a little bit? He's involved with the TV, involved the movie.
Sure we have...
can we mention what your husband's doing right now? What type of movies and TV's doing right now?
Absolutely.
Why don't you tell him for us?
That was so sweet of you, Bill. I adore you, and I know your muscles are bigger than my husband's, and and you're taller than my husband, and you're better looking than my husband.
I tried. I'm going to stand away from you the next time we go up there, Bill.
I got to tell you something. You think I have energy? Rusty runs circles around me. He's got way more energy than me, but that's a sweet compliment. Thank you for those kind words. Rusty's, we've been around the Sons of Anarchy, the cast, and the producer, Kurt Sutter. We've been around them now since the first season, and they had wanted Rusty to be on the show the second season, but Rusty declined the invitation so that he could have his music play a more important role in the show, and because my husband is in a metal band, a metal rock band, Attica 7, after the prison, Attica, the band's called, they went ahead and put some of his songs into seasons 2 and 3 of the Sons of Anarchy, so you can find Attica 7 songs, on the DVDs when you purchase a season of the Sons of Anarchy, and in season 4 as well. But somewhere along the line in season 4, Kurt Sutter, we built his motorcycle for him. Kurt has a chopper that we built for him, and he finally had a chat with Rusty to the point where Rusty said, okay, I'll do it. I'll go in and I'll do a bit part. And it was easygoing, and it felt good. And Rusty liked it. And then we, season 5 aired, and we got to see Rusty on television. And he plays Quinn. And the character's name is Rain Quinn. And he is the honorable, noble, club-loving Rain Quinn. He's a president of the Nomads, which is north of the Sam Crow Charter, and poor Quinn, his charter fell apart, went rogue, went sour during season five. And as you know, at the end of season five, Quinn was basically left with, you know, by himself with his charter. Just they were all killed.
Yes.
And
ladies and gentlemen, everybody, listen. Remember, this is a TV program. Her husband's really okay. It's just a TV program.
Okay. It's a drama series.
Your husband's got a new job because I called him up right away. He's got a new career. Furniture mover, is that correct?
Yes.
I want to know, can I borrow that dolly that he used? He said that's his new career right now. I'm the furniture mover.
Yeah.
For you people that don't know what I'm referring to, on the show, this giant refrigerator came in with a huge dolly being pushed in by a man that was even bigger than the refrigerator. That is her husband.
he made the refrigerator look normal. And the Sons of Anarchy television show is the number one drama series on television and has been for the past three or four seasons now, and it's commanded the most ratings of any drama series still. And we're very lucky that, you know, the world has embraced the Sons of Anarchy television show in such a way. Yes, it's violent, but we're all hooked to the whole Sons of Anarchy world and the life that they live. And nurses and school teachers are watching, and there's even children. Some of the kids come to our shop with their grandparents and their parents so that they can meet Rusty, because, you know, he's on the Sons of Anarchy. So. But this season will find Quinn rallying with Bobby Elvis.
Bobby, yes. You know what? Kayla, let me stop you. Fox told us over again, FX, we can't tell anything in the future at all. So no, we can't give anything. We can only talk in the past. So to protect Rusty, to protect all the people up there, we're going to ask you to don't give any tidbits out what's going to happen in the future. You know, Philip and I know because they've sent us stuff like that, but they've asked us, please don't let the public know. So I'm going to stop you on that, okay,
dear? Absolutely. Yeah, totally. I mean, we're real clear on that. The two episodes that have already aired are fun-loving. Yeah, they're fun-loving, and they warm your heart so that when you see Rusty, you'll understand the personality of his character. And that's I enjoyed seeing that when I watched the last two episodes. Yeah, it's not
his
over.
Personality's starting to come out now. You know, he's when he's Rusty's personality's starting to come out now. Before he was in the TV show, but we didn't. He was the next nomad, but we didn't know much about it. But now, as the shows progress, we're developing Rusty's personality. His character's coming out stronger and stronger now. I think it's going to be interesting as a show progressive to find out that he is fun-loving and a bunch of other stuff, I think.
Yeah. And in his heart of hearts, the club is the most important thing to him. Tracy.
K.O.?
Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry, baby.
We don't want you to get off. Yeah, you got all your girlfriends there, right?
Yes, they're all piling in and staring at me out the window. They're like, what are you doing?
I want you to have all the girls come in right now, and we want you to tell us what this celebration is for, what school is you girls from and all that. Give us some feedback so everybody can hear what's going on. Why are you at the restaurant, dear?
Class of 1981 in high school, it's all of our 50th birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned 50 this year, and so this is our eighth grade class, my eighth grade Catholic school, St. Bonaventure. I'm having dinner with my classmates from eighth grade and high school. So
KLKO, well, we got you there. Can you yell out, ask, is there any girls that came in from out of state? Yeah, so I would come over real quick and say hello. Tell us what state they came from for this dinner.
You know what? there's none that came out of state. They're all local. They live, still live here. Many of them live here in Huntington Beach still. But I don't know if I want to go in there and open the can of worms.
Okay, we won't keep. We won't share your past history and all that. I'm trying to picture you in the Catholic schoolgirl outfit and all that, but we'll let that go right out the door.
Oh, gosh, and the cheerleading skirt.
Oh, my goodness, don't forget that. Yes, yes, yes.
Well,
should we give you, should we give Kayle a break and let her get back to,
she's welcome to come back.
Please, you got to come back again. Send some flyers to us so I can get that plastic thing going. Let's coordinate something, and then when you get the big semi up there, maybe we'll try to coordinate a ride, like from Oceanside up to Illusion Motorcycles.
We fill up Mike's trailer in the back of the truck.
Yeah, and then we'll try to find out maybe some other drop zones, and all the drop zones could all drive up to Illusion. What do you think about that, kiddo?
Oh, I think it's great. I'm working on a drop zone with the Messengers of Recovery up in the valley right now. They're going to be helping out. And, of course, my husband's charter is helping. And so many kind people come out of the woodwork and put their hand out to help me. So thank you so much. I know every little bit helps here, and I do need the help. So I'm very grateful for your help.
Five or six shows.
Well, yes, Kay, you can make this intermittently as much as you want. We got 5 or 6 weeks where we can grab this together. You want to come on 15, 20 minutes, whatever you feel like as the weeks go on. Let's keep letting the public know what's going on. Let's try to coordinate this between us, and let's make the hub of the whole program Illusion Motorcycles. What do you think, buddy?
Yes. Excellent.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you.
Of course, as always, buddy.
Okay,
Kayla, we'll say goodnight to you and to all your lady friends, and hope everybody has a wonderful dinner. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, and give my best to your wife. Thank you so much, Phil and Bill. I love you both.
Okay, dear, we'll
see
you.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, and hugs to everybody around the world.
Here we go. It's our buddy,
Kayla.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but we talked to Kayla and got knocked off the air.
Yeah, she said goodbye, we went off the air.
Are you ladies still there?
Is anybody out there tonight?
I'm here.
Hey.
I'm still here.
Thank goodness. I'm glad
to
hear.
Yeah, I was dead air because we were talking to her and we got knocked off the air.
Well, I'm glad to hear a friendly voice here.
There's
this
two
is
of
Bill
them.
Kennedy and
two of them.
Ladies?
Daisy?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, ladies. Bill Kennedy, I'm back for tonight because we really had to get this natural outreach campaign for American Soldier Network, Use Shoes and all that. Hope you're checked into that. I'm here right now because I've got somebody stay with my house, take care of my wife. She went in for her pre-operation on her eyes. It came okay. And then they just decided that her shoulder looked sore. They want to examine it while she was there for the eye examination before the operation. And they found out she's got tumors in her arm. So we had set appointments up today to find out, yes. So being the person I am, I said, look, she's going to be unconscious. You're going to cut her eyes open, do all that. She's going to be unable to see. Let's just do the tumor. Let's cut the tumor out of the arm, too. No. I got to go through one operation, and if she's in the wheelchair now and she won't be able to see, I'm going to be not available as much, obviously. But as soon as I get over this, she could go back for a second operation. So, Phil's going to be Superman, and I'm hoping everybody's going to help Phil the best he can, because I'm a slacker. I got to go home and take care of Biz. Again, the only reason I'm here tonight is I have somebody sitting at the house. And we have had some friends of ours in San Diego that said, Let us know when, and we'll try to come up and spend time with your wife, Kathy. So, anyway, ladies, this is my crazy life. I don't ask God to take anything away from me. Let me deal with it, but I'm not ashamed to say there are times I say, you know, God, I might need a little extra help this week because, you know, you're getting a little bit heavy on my back here a little bit, but we're still pressing on. So, hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Tell me what's new in your lives back there. Anybody speak to me so I can hear some good voices.
Well, I got tattooed.
Hey.
I'm sleeved from elbow to wrist.
What is the theme?
It's all sugar skulls and women that wear, like, the sugar masks in with orchids. We got a quarter of the shading done, all of the outline done. It was all put together by me and the person that did it, so nobody else won't be walking around with it. And I've got two more appointments already booked, one for November, one for January, because this is going to be a lengthy process because I'm doing both arms.
Stop you for a second. I'm sure it's not just myself because Philip and I are making eyes at each other and we're both shaking our heads. There's got to be other people out there. I'm not familiar. What is or how would you describe a sugar mask? That's kind of stuff.
Well, the sugar skull exactly comes from like Mardi Gras type theme, and it's actually made of sugar. But when you go to different events like that, I'm not sure of all the history behind them, but people paint up their faces white with their eyes are black, and they do like the lines on the lips, and you know their face is meant to look like a skull. And I collect pictures of that, and they're more like art or cartoony type deal with extravagant accents on the eyes, the hair, the chest. But they're all females, and they're just really cool. If you Google under images, sugar skull faces, female.
No, I know exactly what it is. In Mexico, we have Day of the Dead. And the Day of
the Dead.
That's exactly it, yes.
Yep, that's what I'm having done, and, you know, I got a long road to go down yet, so.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 hours.
Now we're talking about 2 more sessions till your arm's done?
No, I'm booked for 2 more sessions, you know. It's going to be longer than that because we're going up one arm across the back and the shoulders and down the other arm, so it'll all be in sync with one another, because I don't want to have work on one side and not the other side.
Are you going to keep this theme mostly black and white, or are you going to put some colors in also?
Oh, no, it's all going color because, I mean, sugar skulls are very, very colorful. They've got pink and teals and yellows and all different kinds of things. I've seen so many pictures of them, and I want, like, very, very bright colors, so that's going to be incorporated. That's why we chose the orchids to go in between each mask because, I mean, there's so many different colored orchids out there. It's crazy, but it'll be bright.
Philip and I have a program. We were down in Mexico, and they gave us some very nice shirts to celebrate Rosarita Beach, the party, and they have that beautiful backdrop on our shirts. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful. So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
I sent
some pictures to Phil. I don't know if he's got them handy. But, you know, I sent them to him of the work in progress, what I got done.
Uh-huh. What made you go this way, this theme? What does it mean to you and why?
I don't know. I can't tell you what it means to me. All I know is that I'm very drawn to those images for some odd reason. I just think they're really, really cool. And a couple of semesters back, I was in a speaking class where you learn how to give lectures and speak in front of people, et cetera. And a girl that was in the class with me, she did a speech on sugar skulls, and she had some to display, and they were just really, really cool. And that's where I began looking at pictures and different things. Now, I always wanted to be sleeved. I wanted lots of work done, but jobs, et cetera, just didn't allow for it. When I had my epiphany of going, you know, for culinary and trying to get this food truck thing off the ground, most of the good chefs are tattooed with beautiful work. And being a cook, I can be tattooed. I can do what I want to do because it's going to be my show. And I just decided to go with it. I don't know. Maybe it's a midlife crisis. I don't know. But, you know, I'm doing me for once, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I won't tell you how many times I've gotten stopped now in the last 6 days because of the work on my arm with millions of questions from millions of people. But it's all good. You know, if
I have two younger brothers. My brother Mike Kennedy. My brother Mike's been tattooed in Europe and in Australia. He has got castles and dragons and bikes. I mean, he's got beautiful, beautiful colors. Now, also in my family is the youngest brother, who's now in Arizona. He left us California. He said, enough of this crazy shit. He went out to Arizona. It's my brother Pat Kennedy. Pat Kennedy is sleeved from wrist to shoulder, but he's only black and white. And if you listen to others, they have distinct reasons. Well, I want this. Mother brother says, I don't want that. I wouldn't want that at all. I want what I have. So I'm always interested why you would choose one color over another. I personally think that women should have colors, beautiful colors in their tattoos. I see a lot of women, you know, and again, they say, well, girls got straight black and white. Well, you know what, Bill, don't worry about it. It's not your tattoo. I'm not criticizing it. We're talking about something. I'm saying, well, I like to see women with colors. Men, if they have colors or black and white, that's a personal choice. But I think all women are beautiful, as I've told everybody. And I think colors just enhance a tattoo. So I'm all for that.
Someone had told me that there's, like, sugar skulls are, like, very, they mean, like, spiritual stuff. They're like a deep religious thing. And, I mean, I've got a lot of spirituality. Don't get me wrong. You know, I don't preach about religion or anything like that because that's not my game. But, you know, somebody was like, you might be attracted to them because of your own personal beliefs. But they said they're just, I don't know, a very dominant sign, I guess, for that type of stuff.
Well, Philip and I are also down in Ensenada in February for Mardi Gras, or they call it in Mexico. They don't call it Mardi Gras. They call it Carnaval. Did I say that right, Phil? Carnaval? My Mexican's so terrible. But that's where you see it everywhere.
French,
well, it's from the French derivation. I understand that. But since they kicked the French out of their country, they don't want to talk about that anymore. But we get down there for that, and then we celebrate in Southern California. We have the Day of the Dead celebrate everywhere. So the Day of the Dead, which started in Mexico, it is very, very prevalent all over Southern California, especially all the Catholic churches and all that. It's pretty impressive. But Philip and I don't forget Ensenada because Mardi Gras still is a beautiful party, or Carnival, what the hell. You know. I'm reading some quick notes here. I'm sorry. Some people are faxing us, emailing us, whatever the hell. They're doing some short things here. Boys and girls, I am going to have to run pretty quick because I got somebody taking care of my wife just so I could talk to our friend K.O. about the American Soldier Network. We're going to try to collect 25,000 pairs of used shoes. Now, I'm not sure how we're going to do it. We're going to use a couple places as a drop zone, and I don't know if maybe some of our friends can send some boxes of old shoes or something, or maybe we can find some. We'll have to work on all that.
We have to work.
These shoes are being distributed in America or overseas, or because that's a
possibility. It's going to be in developing countries for the purpose of the fact that the shoes will be cleaned, repaired, and refabbed. Then they're distributed free to the local people. They're also going to teach these people a trade and skill, how to read through the shoes, how to clean the shoes up. What the number one reason for us in America is that 630 million shoes are thrown away every year in America, creating chemical compounds too difficult to break down in our landfills. A pair of tennis shoes in a landfill takes 1 year to break down. So all we're doing in our landfills is taking our men's, women's high heels, tennis shoes, stripper boots. We're putting them in, and no one's getting any use out of them.
Yeah, whatever.
If we can help,
whatever doesn't fit.
Yeah, if we can help people in third world countries, and if we can also get rid of our own landfill problems, if we teach them a trade, it's a win-win for everybody. And if we can raise 25,000 pairs, we have a company that's going to give $10,000 to the American Soldier Network, and they're going to give this for the San Diego Naval Medical Center, and it aids the Wounded Warrior Battalion of Camp Pendleton here. It helps the Navy and the Marines. I'm sure if there's any Army out there, but there's not. So if they can raise those stuff here, we have somebody who wants to give $10,000 for the Wounded Warriors, for our veterans. That's the hook that's got Philip and I. But the hook should get all of us is the fact that we need to get these shoes out of our landfills. They're not being taken apart at all. So if we get bad shoes, worn-up shoes, let's get people to learn how to fix them. Let's get them a skill. Let's get them eventually get on the payroll. So it's a win-win for everybody. And I'd like to help the veterans if we can raise money for them, too. Everybody seem okay with that? Any comments on that, yeah, or criticism or questions?
No, it all sounds good. You got the information up on the blog, or are you going to have it on your page? Because, you know, all of us can share that stuff and get it spread around, because it's definitely for a good cause.
We're going to be doing this with another motorcycle company. We're going to use this other motorcycle company as the hub, so several of us will be drop zones. I think by now, has everybody heard of Illusion Motorcycles?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Well, it's going to be his place. That's going to be the final party. We're going to bring all the stuff up there. Kennedy's Custom Cycles and the radio talk show here are going to be drop zones, communication parts, and then we're going to bring everything up to one shop only and fill semis up and have a big, big party. I've already talked to the magazine people. They're all interested. It'd be wonderful if we could do a show out there, maybe, just talking down the road, something like that, while the event's going on, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm talking a lot of shit now, but...
I just put it... good.
Okay.
It just went up right now.
Okay. So next week, it'll have the drop zones, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. It'll have the radio show here involved and all that. And then, of course, if anybody wants to be there and talk to Rusty that day, come on up
because
there.
Because they'll be doing... During the week, they're open from 9 to 5, mm-hmm. or by appointment. So... If you call and you...
That's for KO.
They're closed on the weekend, but that's the only time you can go. If you call and ask for Catherine, she'll meet you there, take your shoes.
And Rusty's going to be in the complaint department, so if anybody's not happy, just go and talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're already in trouble. I know. He listens to the show.
I know he does. His wife and I flirt with each other a little bit. We cause a little trouble.
Yeah, well, he's too fucking
big
for you.
All my friends out there, they know I'm afraid of that guy. Just give me a chair, I'll stand on the chair, and I'll look him right in the eye. I ain't afraid of that. Any more questions about the event, boys and girls?
No, but I'm just, that's a lot of shoes, 25,000 shoes.
It'll be a lot, and we don't have that much time. So we're going to have to, after this show... the company's going to contact Kennedy's Custom Cycles. I'll put some flyers up, and we're going to start. I've already contacted blah, blah, blah. Philip, of course, is the fantastic engineer beside running the program here. He'll be getting contact out to all of our friends. Philip and I have a few. Go ahead, dear.
You know, the females really need to get involved with that, because I personally can vouch for having more shoes than I really need, and sometimes the older shoes sit in a pile in the bottom of the closet, and you just don't want to pop with them because they have a memory, or you dance the night away or whatever. But, you know, they ain't doing anything, so it's like females need to clear out the closets because we do that stuff with shoes.
You guys don't do that too much because our shoes just wear out, and then we get rid of them. We don't wear them. We wear them until they run. That's it. Got a hole in them. Get another one, you know. Well, I am going to have to say goodnight to everybody. Is there any last question anybody would like to ask me before I leave?
When you're leaving, I'm leaving.
I got to leave. I got to go.
You're leaving, I'm leaving.
Okay. Listen, to all my friends out there, thanks for all your support. Thanks for all your prayers. I got a lot of stuff on my plate, boys and girls. Not that I'm trying to make a big deal of it. I just ran out my mother's house. Three of the rooms in her house, she's got no juice, no electricity. I had to call the electrician up. He's going to run down on Friday. I got to get people over the house, from my house to the shop, from my mother's house back to the radio station. I'm stretched a bit thin. But don't worry about it, because Superman Philip is here. He can do everything, I promise you. So at this point in time,
well,
I'm going to say goodnight.
Yeah, we're going to say goodnight now,
okay.
And I'll let Mike P. take us out with a little summertime.
Oh, I love summertime.
And be sure to tune in Tuesday.
Boys and girls, thank you for thinking of me.
All right, good night, ladies.
Good night.
Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. Me. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. Me. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30 pack, a pack of Jimmy straps, pack of hood rats, and a paddy kick it at. I think I'll call Slim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some hoes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, treat them.